Let us join our hearts in a moment of prayer. Loving God, you've given us some hard words to struggle with, but we seek to get to the heart of your love and what you're asking of us. So open our hearts and minds, we pray, that we might open the door to Jesus to enter in. All this we ask in his name. Amen. I do have to start by apologizing for that gospel reading. It would not be one that I would normally pick for a baptism Sunday. It just was on the schedule. And even people before the service were going, are you really going to use that? It doesn't seem to fit. And it is a challenging one. He's using some challenging ideas to get us to look at some of our very basic behaviors, because when we break relationship with one another, there are huge consequences. And Jesus is just trying to lay out for us just how big those consequences are and how important it is to look after our relationships, because we want to get it right. And that's the problem right there, is we want to be right. We all love being right. It doesn't matter what the topic is. The message Jesus gives us suggests that being right is not always the right thing to do. Sometimes it takes us a little while to get to what is the right thing. This reminds me of a funny story a lawyer friend of mine told me once. It's all about a property dispute that he had to tell. And his client was a young couple who had just bought a property. And they ended up having to deal with a very difficult older neighbor. Turns out there was a very brand new fence sitting between the two properties. But it wasn't a very good fence, and there wasn't a lot of privacy in the backyard. So they decide to plant a row of cedars right beside the fence to give them a bit of privacy. Well, the next morning, they wake up surprised to see all those brand new cedars have been cut down. The neighbor next door says, those cedars are right on the property line. I didn't give you permission to plant them, so therefore, I took them down. Well, as you can imagine, the police were called. And then my lawyer friend got involved. And they had to sit down and do mediation on how to resolve this. And as part of it all, they agreed, well, maybe a proper survey should be done. Exactly where is this property line? Well, it turns out that fence was 3 feet over the property line. So that poor neighbor had to bring the fence back the 3 feet to the actual property line and then pay to replace all the cedars. He was so convinced he was right, he was wrong. And that's the way it is often in life. We want to be in the right at all costs. Because being right, well, it's a great feeling, isn't it? We feel superior to others when we're right. But the problem with wanting to be right all the time is the simple fact that we are not perfect. No one is right all the time. And when we want to be right at all costs, we tend to miss a few things. We tend to oversimplify the situation we're facing in order to make it easier to prove our point. And when we want to be right, we actually stop listening to what the other person is trying to say to us. Because we know that whatever they're saying, it's wrong. So why bother listening? It makes it hard to communicate, doesn't it? When we're convinced we're right, we end up having some strong opinions as to why everyone else is wrong. And that's when we really get into trouble. We come to believe that others are wrong, well, simply because they're uneducated. If we just give them the right information, they will be right with us and everything will be fine. It'd be nice if it was that simple, wouldn't it? You know, so if we share our superior knowledge, maybe then they will stop being so ignorant. Go over too well, though, does it? Now, if they happen to not listen to your superior knowledge, then we usually make the assumption, well, they're just not as smart as we are. I once had a boss who told me that when it comes to our customers, the masses are asses. You could tell he didn't really get along with his customers very well, right? Of course, not everyone who disagrees with you when you're right is actually an idiot. Sometimes we assume, well, yeah, maybe they do know what's right, but they just don't care. Or maybe they're just evil. See what that does? It pushes the people down. It pushes them away to the point that we can't talk to them at all. And the truth is, when you play this blame game, you stop considering the possibility that maybe somewhere the truth is somewhere in the middle. Or heaven forbid, maybe I might be in the wrong on that detail. So it comes as a bit of good news to know that we don't always have to be right. And Jesus reminds us there's something far more important than being right. That being in a loving relationship with people is what actually matters most. Because life is better together. We are co-creators with Christ of this life. And so that works better when we're together and not alone. And that gospel passage that was so harsh and awkward this morning is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives. And that whole sermon gives us a way to handle this need to be right. Because Jesus is telling us in that sermon that God is with us, even when we get it wrong, even when we stand alone, even when the world is turned against you, God is still with you. And Jesus tells us that we can have the courage to be a light that shines in times of darkness, to bring people together. And he shows us by his example how things like forgiveness, reconciliation, and grace do actually have the power to heal our relationships and bring us together. But then he uses these words that make it sound like a new strict moral code that's a real challenge. I mean, he says it's not enough to commit murder, now you can't even think about it. Well, if that's the case, I'm sunk. How about you? Is he asking us to be super righteous that we never have another dark thought? Or maybe, just maybe, he's telling us here's a different way to handle it when those dark thoughts do come around. Because they do come around, don't they? When we're hurt, we're often tempted. We want revenge. When we're in the right and someone hurts us, we want payback. And until we get it, we often rehearse that grievance. We hang on to it. We rehearse our hurt. Build ourselves up in our rage that I'm justified in being this angry about it. And Jesus is saying, stop playing that tape over and over again because it's not going to get you anything. It's going to lead you nowhere. Because life is actually better together. So what we need are the things that help us overcome these divisions. So murder is the act of killing another person. That's obvious. And Jesus is saying, in the same way, your anger can kill the love that you have for another person. Which is worse? Actually, the act of killing the person or killing the relationship? And he's saying it's just as bad, if not worse. Because the anger that can kill a love is the same anger that, if it multiplies, ends up in people being killed. So he's saying, nip it in the bud. Don't let your anger get in the way of and let it destroy what you value the most. In the same way, all those other examples he gives us, don't let it get so out of hand that it starts destroying the very fabric of your life and your world. Because when we let things break us apart, we lose our very sense of self. And these things end up dehumanizing us because suddenly we're alone and we're not together. 10:30 on the nose. Very good. We pause every morning at 10:30 for this. And we need that kind of a call to say, hey, wake up. You're looking at things in the wrong direction. In the face of such dehumanizing forces that can tear us apart from each other, Jesus proclaims the message about the kingdom of God. And he invites us to respond to these kinds of problems in a very different way. Because he knows it takes a lot of time and effort to change things, like our feelings of anger or our feelings of resentment. In order for there to be real change, we need to take the time and go deeper with where God is trying to get us, in the heart. And that's why we try to take the time to learn from God's eternal truths. Jesus is showing us how healing our relationships with our brothers and sisters is more important than any other valuable thing that you can have or imagine or cherish. Jesus is telling us this is so important that if you come to church and you realize I've got a broken relationship with my brother, you need to walk out that door and fix that relationship before you come in here. If you've got a broken relationship with someone, don't bother going to work, because the money you make at work isn't going to be worth anything if you don't fix that very important relationship. But it takes a lot of time and a lot of love to mend our relationships in this way. And love is the hardest lesson to learn. Reminds me of when my wife and I were first married. We spent a lot of time deliberately trying to get to know each other. What are your likes? What are your dislikes? What are your routines? What are your habits? what kind of food do you like? And my wife was surprised when I said, there's only one kind of food that I do not like. And I said to her, I want you to promise me that we will never have this food in our life together. And she said, okay. She was expecting Brussels sprouts or something like that. And I said, no. It's something much more evil and dangerous and terrible than that. I hate Kraft dinner. I was a poor student in university. I survived on Kraft dinner for far too many years. To this day, I cannot stand the taste of it. It makes me gag. And then we had kids. You know where this is going, don't you? And you guys, as new parents, are about to learn what that means. We had kids. Kids who love Kraft dinner. You can't try and tell a two-year-old, you know, this is really bad nutrition. They don't care. They love the taste. They want Kraft dinner. And if you're going to get your kid to eat sometimes, here, have Kraft dinner. Despite my best efforts to talk about it, my children are now all adults, and they still like Kraft dinner. I still hate Kraft dinner. But I had to learn how to love my family more than I hate Kraft dinner. Because the loving thing to do is always the right thing to do. Amen.